Rap and J Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. That's why I see
you, man. Good morning and welcome in to the Cap and J Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000. And we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you, we got Shay, we got Charlie, we got you on this Hoodwink Tuesday. Shot or no shot brought to you by...
That would be Points Bet. Points Bet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. Download the Points Bet app. Get the lightning bets and the same game parlays. I'll have one tonight. Should be a lot of fun. It's always nice being on a couch and having a little action as you watch your evening entertainment. And, of course, if you want to do the horses, the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. My guy, Secretariat, good morning to you, my friend. What did you say, Shay?
Remember, you can also at Club Hawthorne sign up to win.
Oh, yeah. You could sign up to win $12,000 at Club Hawthorne. Go to the Club Hawthorne app, and you can find it right there.
Here's Shay Norling. Shay?
Good morning, fellas. How we doing today?
Doing fine, thank you. And how's Badfinger doing over there?
Very quickly, before we get into shot or no shot, I get in this morning, and Charlie tells me he cut his finger yesterday. Mm-hmm. Okay, it happens. Then he tells me he has no Band-Aids, and he shows me his finger. He's got Scotch packing tape wrapped around paper towel on his index finger.
You know why that is? It's because that's how they do it in Oregon. That's because he's a man's man.
All natural. You're lucky I didn't come in with a leaf wrapped around my finger.
He tried. He did not buy any Band-Aids. No Band-Aids.
He's a tough guy. It's Morgan.
Rub some dirt on it.
Yeah, I actually cut my toe badly on vacation.
Mm-hmm. You hungry or?
No. My wife decided to leave the side of her luggage unzipped and had one of those little Bose speakers.
Oh, yeah.
And she set her bag on top of my pants, my jeans. So I walk over there and I lift up the edge of the bag, just the edge, to pull out my jeans. The speaker falls out of the unzipped side, lands on my foot. And I'm like, that didn't feel good. And so I go hopping around. I got my pants in my hand. I'm going to go put them away. I'm getting some shorts out. I'm like, what is red all over the ground here? Blood.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, like in Die Hard, John McClane with the trail of blood.
Yeah.
That was me. And in walks my oldest, Nick. Jesus, what happened? Your mother did not zip her bag closed. But of course, it'll end up being my fault.
Of course, every time.
No Band-Aids in the VRBO we had. Mm-hmm. No Band-Aids. So he was awesome. He found some kind of tape.
Yeah.
And he took paper towel and he taped up, just like Charlie, taped up my big toe.
So ridiculous. Charlie, you know.
Get a Band-Aid.
We didn't have any.
There's CVS on every corner. Go get a Band-Aid.
Guess what? I would have bled to death by that point.
Wow. From where he is in that desert island that he was vacationing on.
If you put Luminol in that house where I was in, you'd find blood everywhere. Oh. Kind of a murder went on in here.
Keep in mind where he was vacationing. Like, there's no CVS. There's no Commoners where he was staying, where there's a CVS or a Walgreens. He doesn't want to mix it up with the help and regular people.
All right, let's go.
Let's get into shot or no shot, boys. I want to ask about something Aaron Rodgers said after the game about how the Bears were different this year than in the past. Listen to this.
They did, yeah. I mean, they played a lot of coverage, a lot of too high. Mixed some coverage up, held the shell till the very end most of the time. But again, Jalen is a premier player. But the other young guys played pretty well.
Shot or no shot, Jalen Johnson is a premier player in the league.
That's a no shot. Not a premier player. He is on this football team, but not in the league.
Premier?
Like, that's what Aaron Rodgers called him.
What is premier? I mean, he's...
No.
Is he a top?
No.
Every team has three corners at least, so we got 90. Is he a top 30 corner in the league?
I don't know, but I would say no. Because you know why? Because at a position, I want to see turnovers. I want to see playmaking.
Correct.
He'll get there.
Eberflus talked about why Jalen Johnson's not going to a Pro Bowl. He said, you got to have stats, and your unit has to be really good.
Fair.
Their unit's not. I love the honesty.
Yeah.
He said, got no stats, no unit. The unit's not good.
That's fair.
Agreed.
So, I mean, it's nice for him to say. Nice pat on the head, Aaron, but that's a no shot.
That was a nice pat on the head.
It is a pat on the head. Nice player, but I still beat your ass.
Right.
And so that's a no shot.
No shot.
Shay.
All right, Kaplan, you're going to love this one. It has to do with your favorite people over at Pro Football Focus. Braxton Jones grades out as a top 20 left tackle at PFF. Over the last 5 weeks, statistically, he has excelled in one-on-one pass blocking situations. He has given up very few hits, very few pressures even, shown a ton of improvement as the season has gone on, especially since the Washington game. There are 77 players qualified at left tackle. Braxton Jones grades out at 20th. Top free agent tackle Orlando Brown, who really has not been great this season if you've watched Kansas City, grades out at 35th. Shot or no shot? The Bears' answer at left tackle is already on the roster.
I'm going to say no shot. I think they're going to go upgrade there, and I think he gets moved over to right tackle. Has he shown progress? Absolutely. 100% he's shown progress. Do I think he is the answer at left tackle? Not today. But could he be? Certainly. He's a talented kid. But do I think he's locked in? Left tackle, we're good. Not yet.
Does Charlie not like shot or no shot?
He really had to pee.
I mean, what is that?
Hey, man. It's got a small bladder. What do you want me to tell
you? I mean, it's a lot of small bladders in this station. It's just, my, I mean, we're right in the middle of, like, our premier segment. I got to pee. Okay. Anyway, so I mean, so it's the best segment that we do every day, and you can't hold out for another 8-9 minutes.
Apparently not.
Anyway,
soil themselves.
Okay,
I don't know.
I mean, I will soil myself for this segment. That's what I would do if I was him.
Don't.
I'm gonna get him a Gatorade bottle.
I mean, it's shot or no shot. You want to do it during Breer? Okay. We answered the question, right? Did I answer the question, Shay?
I don't know if you did. Shot or no shot, the Bears answer at left tackle is already on the roster.
I would say no shot. I think that, as you say, always say, Shay, you know, you go to the top shelf, you try to be able to find out what else you could do at free agency or in the draft. And Braxton Jones, like Cap said, he thinks he might be on the right side. Whatever it takes, right? But I think that that's a very important side. It's his blind side, for God's sakes. Pay through the nose for it, for protection.
Correct.
That I mean, especially if the guy's healthy, whoever that is.
But now, you know what the fear is like Orlando Brown, if you've watched the Chiefs, has had problems this year protecting the quarterback. Last week there was a play where he got Mahomes killed, and it just outright was his fault. He's going to become probably the top paid tackle in the league, if not top three, top five, this offseason. You're going to pay through the nose for a guy who's not as talented as he was when he was the premier left tackle in the league. That's the fear when you do it in free agency.
Yeah, that's fair.
I will trust Ryan Poles, who knows offensive line play, he and Ian Cunningham, his assistant, and let them make the best choice. If they tell me Braxton Jones could be the guy, God bless him.
Shay.
The Chicago Cubs are suddenly rumored to be all over the free agent shortstops. They have potential to sign Carlos Correa. Mark Feinsand reported on Twitter yesterday they could sign both Xander Bogaerts and Dansby Swanson. Kaplan, also, you reported on Twitter last night ownership has given the Cubs the green light to spend in free agency. So shot or no shot, the Cubs will be Chicago's most exciting team in 2023.
Oh, my God. I'm going to say that's a shot. That is absolutely a shot.
What?
The Blackhawks? No. The White Sox? Stop yourself. Not at this point.
What? Who are you talking to?
I'm talking to everybody. You specifically.
What do you mean the Cubs are going to be more excited than the White Sox in 2023? What does that mean? What are you talking about? You got a lot of work to do, pal.
I'm not saying that they don't. I never said they don't have to do work. That's what they're trying to do out there. I don't know what your club's doing. My team seems to be starting to move toward the deep end of the pool. Your team's over in the kiddie pool.
My club was 81-81 last year. You build on that. That's what you do.
My club finished 39-31 in the second half of the season with a moribund roster, and I was told last night by people who would know. Mr. Ricketts went in to see Jed before Jed got on the plane to go to San Diego. It's time to go. Green light.
At 39-31 came and get you on the L. Okay, so that's fine. That's a nice job that you did in the second half.
Yes, I'm sorry. We don't have any room for you here. Oh, wait a minute. Who is that you're with there, Jed? Yeah, his name's Correa. Carlos. Mr. Correa, take this seat. His name's Bogarts. Xander, with an X. Oh, that seat's available.
That's fine.
Dansby.
Yeah.
Say hi to Dansby Swanson.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go!
Well, just so you know, I don't know if you know this or not, Xander doesn't work here anymore. So that's a no shot. Go ahead.
All right. I have it back to football. The Vikings got a narrow victory over the Mike
White jealous.
Over the weekend, with the defense stuffing the Jets on four plays from the one-yard line, getting a late red zone stop to seal the victory. For Minnesota, though, the offense fizzled out multiple times. Kirk Cousins was 21 of 35 for just 173 yards and one touchdown. This became the ninth one-score win this season for the Minnesota Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
Shot or no shot, the Vikings are pretenders, not contenders.
No shot. That's just bad. They've got a lot of talent. They've got as good a receiving core as anyone in the league. Their quarterback's playing at a pretty high level. They got one of the best running backs in Dalvin Cook. Their offensive line's pretty damn solid. Oh, and by the way, if you took a threesome, their threesome of Dalvin Cook, Adam Thielen, and Justin Jefferson, or KJ Osborne, it's as good as most.
Kirk Cousins ranks 21st in QBR, by the way.
See, whatever. Who gives a shit? I almost swore. I don't care about
you now.
These stupid analytic numbers. Ow. Well, this one says...
Do you think that these analytics, they come up with them without watching the games?
Yeah, some of them.
Like, here's the top five. Tell me if this passes the smell test for you. One, Patrick Mahomes. Two, Tua Tagovailoa. Three, Josh Allen. Four, Jalen Hurts. Five, Geno Smith. Passes the smell test, probably, right?
Yeah, probably.
I think that, ultimately, though... The question is whether or not you think Kirk Cousins can take you to another level. That's all.
He has to prove it.
That's all. I mean, but I think that's what it comes down to. Like, you feel like the Vikings could take another step. Well, that's the case if Cousins is just a game manager. All of the talent's there. I've been waiting for 5 years for the Vikings to finally get over the hump. I always tell Bursich, like, here's your team. Here's it come. Pete Bursich from Chicago, the color analyst of the Vikings. I text him. I go, here's your team. Here we go. He goes, I'm not sure. Let's just be patient, because he knows that Kirk Cousins is limited.
They're what, 10-2?
Yeah. They got the Lions, Colts, Giants, at the Packers, at the Bears.
Lions? Where's the Lions?
At the Lions.
At the Lions.
Colts, Giants, at the Packers, at the Bears.
They'll go 4-1.
Lions are favorites in that game, by the way.
Correct. Lions are playing good football. Who told you that 6 weeks ago? Take that. I'm going to tell you they go 4-1, so they're going to finish, what, 13-3? They're 10-1. They'll finish 14-3.
That's good. Chicago's broken clock twice a day came through on the Lions. Good job.
There you go.
All right, coming up next, we'll get into the latest on the Cubs and White Sox.
I think the Sox just picked up a Class A guy in the Rule 5 draft. Good luck.
That's good. Well, get into the latest on the Cubs and the White Sox from the winter meetings right here on the home of the White Sox. You hear that over there at 35th and Beck? Guys, take a shot at you. ESPN 1000.
David Kaplan. Jonathan Hood. Welcome, fans. This is Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the new ESPN Chicago app.
Hello.
Football on ESPN 1000.
Hello, Bert.
Albert Breer.
Hey, Bert.
Senior NFL writer for SI.com joins Cap and Jay Hood.
Bert's it.
What? You're it, Bert.
On ESPN 1000.
What do you mean I'm it?
Well, see, that's the game. I just tagged you, and you're it until you tag somebody else.
Albert Breer.
No, I'm not playing a game. I'm reading, Ernie, and I'm not it.
Okay.
On Chicago's home for sports.
But Bert is it.
Every Tuesday at 8:35, we get a chance to chop it up with Albert Breer from Monday Morning Quarterback and SI.com. Albert Breer with a bad back, but he still is able to watch Monday Night Football with his five, six stockings underneath the big screen TV. He joins us here on Cap and Jay Hood. Good morning, Albert.
I'll take any advice you guys have for the bad back. It is, oh, God, the worst. It's like a lower back thing, you know what I mean? Like where you don't feel like you can bend over. It sucks.
Oh, it's the worst. I've had it. Hoodie had it two winters ago, helping to shovel some of his neighbors. We banned him from shoveling now. Yeah, ask your doctor for the Medrol dose pack. It's like you take six little pills day one, five day two, four, three, two, one. Knocks it right out.
Really?
Yes.
What's it called? The Medrol?
Medrol dose pack.
All right, you got to text me that.
I will.
I have it.
I will.
Yes, okay. And have that with your or your nightly beer that you have, too, by the way.
I think I had a sip of sunshine last night. You guys like that?
A sip? I thought that was a little bit more than that, Albert. Remember, we watch the videos at halftime every Monday night, so absolutely. And speaking of that, listen, you cover Tom Brady, and you still are. But, I mean, as I always tell Cap, as someone who's 45 or 44 years old, this is supposed to look like Jamie Moyer. This is supposed to look like Charlie Huff, right? And to see him have another come-from-behind victory, I know you can't be surprised. How amazing is that last night?
I mean, well, you want to talk about my back pain. I'm 42. Like, I'm having trouble making it up the stairs right now. And, so I'm amazed by it. It really is incredible, guys. And I think it informs so many things, just as like far as how we look at like the Patriot dynasty and what was accomplished there over 20 years. And, obviously the last 3 years in Tampa, how he's just facilitated so many things for so many people. And, I feel like the back half of his run in New England, we saw more and more of this specifically, where like it could look like crap for 55 minutes. And he could be getting knocked around for 55 minutes, and then in the last 5 minutes, he makes the rest of it not matter, And I think a big part of it is his feel for the game, his knowledge of the game, and you sort of wonder too, like you see him in the hurry up, and he's calling it in the hurry up. Maybe that's what the Bucs need to do. Maybe the Bucs need to give him more control. And maybe the Bucs just need him to call it from the line from here on out, because it looked awfully good. It looked smooth the way the whole operation was running, when they were in the 2 minute there over those last two drives. So incredible, incredible, incredible. And, I don't know that we're ever going to see anything like him again. So I think everybody, whether you hated him or not over the last 23 years, I think it's time for everybody to appreciate what they're looking at. We saw it against the Rams earlier in this year, and then, of course, we saw it last night against the Saints.
All right, so let's talk about the Bears. They had every chance to beat Green Bay the other day. Of course, our esteemed kicker can't make another extra point, so it's a two-possession game instead of one at the end. I thought it was Justin's best game of the year. What was your takeaway on how Justin played? And he said after the game, yeah, my left shoulder's sore. Would you run him back out there still, even though you're 3-10?
It's interesting. I was, I was at the Texans Browns game on Sunday for obvious reasons, and I was talking to one of the executives that was on the sideline for that game, and they said to me like, why are the Bears throwing him out there? An AC joint is something that can get worse, guys. And I would just hope that they're not risking further injury here. Because to me, like, one of the biggest things coming out of this year is going to be Justin having a clean off season. And, this is going to be the first time in a long time because, when he was at Ohio State, that was in the middle of COVID, right? So if you really think about it, like, he hasn't had a clean off season with a carryover staff in a long, long time, right? Probably since high school, where he can go through what he did during the season and use it to build upon an off season program within the same system that he was running. And the biggest thing for me right now, if I'm the Bears, would be let's make sure that no matter what we do, whether we're playing him or not, the priority is getting him to the off season in a position having in the offseason. He has a full, complete offseason where we can continue to build on what we did in 2022 and position him to be even better in 2023. So that's the way I look at it. And look, I'm not a doctor, but I know those questions are being asked among other teams in the league, why the Bears are playing Justin. And I think the big thing for me, if I'm the Bears right now, with I think it's 5 games left, right, is to make sure that whatever you do, you're not putting him in a position where, a good chunk of his offseason is going to be devoted to rehab rather than working and getting better.
Albert, what have you heard about Baker Mayfield, his pending parting of the ways and maybe a connection to San Francisco? Is any of that true?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting, Huddy, because you always think, like, you hear a big name hit the waiver wire, and you think, okay, of course he's going to get claimed. And it doesn't always work out that way. So could he clear waivers? I think it's possible. You know, I think the other thing that's sort of interesting about this, it's $1.4 million left on his deal, right? And San Francisco's obviously in a really tough spot with Brock Purdy. As you know, as their starting quarterback, you know, a rookie from Iowa State who, you know, I is well thought of in the building, but no one, you know, projected him as a starter in the draft last year. And obviously, you know, like any sort of, you know, deficiencies he has in his game, you know, those are going to show up more over the course of weeks rather than him just getting thrown into a situation like he did on Sunday. I sort of look at this and, if you're Seattle or Arizona, is it worth the $1.4 million to block this from happening? Because they can do it. And those two teams are ahead of the Niners in the waiver order. So I think there's a lot of interesting things going on here. I'm not positive the Niners would claim him. Maybe they would. He's got background in their offense, having played for Kevin Stefanski, who, you know, is a disciple of Gary Kubiak, who obviously is Kyle Shanahan's mentor. It would make a lot of sense if you're Seattle or Arizona or another contender in the NFC and you're ahead of the Niners in the waiver order, would it make sense for you to put in a claim on Baker Mayfield just to block him from getting to San Francisco? To me, like, that's the really interesting part of what's going to happen today, because if the Niners can just be competent at the quarterback position, they're very much a contender. You know, it's the top two or three roster in the league. So, yeah, I think there's going to be an interesting game of chess when it comes to the NFC contenders today.
Albert, as always, we appreciate it, man. Good luck with your back. I know you're carrying SI.com, and I know it hurts. So,
well, hey, Cap, make sure to text me that.
Already
that
did. It's already in your phone.
Okay, awesome. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
You're the man. Feel better.
It is Albert Breer drinking his sunshine and having a good time covering the NFL for Monday Morning Quarterback.
Probably doing like you had to do two winters ago. Mm. Snorling wasn't here yet. You had to do the show. And I saw the picture that your wife sent me. Laying on the floor in your office.
Yeah.
Because the back was locked up.
You know what? You know what they call that in this country? Gamer.
And you know what we call it now? We treat your home like Aruba. It doesn't snow because you're not allowed to deal with it.
I wish that was the case, man.
Take that.
Have a bubble over that. How come we don't have heated sidewalks? That's the next invention, isn't it? So that way when it snows, it doesn't hit your sidewalk.
How about if you had like a huge bubble over your home and it was like 84 degrees?
Like in the Simpsons movie?
Exactly.
Hey, honey, I'm going out in the backyard. It's winter. What are you doing with no shirt on? It's 84 in our bubble.
Oh, that would be so good. That's next, man.
Like a huge bubble. Hey, hon, you want to go outside and take the dogs out and go in the backyard? It's cold. Not in our bubble. It's not.
Hear that, Musk? Next invention. Let's go.
That's it. Get off Twitter and get into this.
Deion Sanders is moving up to the Pac-12. So what's the problem with that? Oh, there's problems, according to some. We'll talk about it next. On Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN 1000.
Small business owners, lend us your ears. You may have overpaid on your payroll taxes during COVID. If you continue to pay employees' wages during the pandemic, Omega Accounting Solutions may be able to help you recover a refund of up to $26,000 per employee. Schedule a free 10-minute call with Omega to find out whether you qualify or not. It's that simple. Call 800-704-2000 with any ERC questions. That's 800-704-2000. Or visit OmegaTaxCredits.com before the filing window closes or funds run out.
Cap J Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
We got a few positions already taken care of because I'm bringing my luggage with me. And it's Louis. Okay. It ain't going to be no more of a mess that these wonderful fans, the student body, and some of your parents have put up with for probably two decades now. I'm coming. And when I get here, it's gonna be changed. So I want y'all to get ready to go ahead and jump in that portal and do whatever you're going to get. Because the more you jump in, the more room you make. Because we bring kids that are smart. Say that. Smart.
Smart.
Tough.
Tough.
Deion Sanders. So go ahead and jump in that portal if you have to. The Colorado players, Deion Sanders going from Jackson State to the Colorado Buffaloes. Cap and J-Hood morning 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000. Cap, I just want to just talk about this before we go back into the Bears because it has bothered me just, and it's obviously polarizing because there's a split in opinion on Deion Sanders going from Jackson State to Colorado. From the jump, Deion Sanders tried to be a Power 5 college football coach. He was not given that opportunity. It's like, yeah, you coached high school and you did well on the high school level, but no one was handing Deion Sanders a job. So you went to the SWAC to be able to prove that he can coach. 27-5, he's got an undefeated team this year. I've been, as you well know, I watch SWAC football. I have family that went to a SWAC school, a couple of SWAC schools. So just the idea of Jackson State doing so well and Deion being there has been a compelling storyline in college football. He gets the opportunity. He told 60 Minutes last year, hey, if there's another opportunity, I will try to look into it because, of course, you want to. Mate, what was it, Che? $300,000 with Jackson State?
Yes, $300,000 a year.
And what's this contract now, Cap, with Colorado? 29?
20. That's a fine. $29 million, I believe, with incentives, he can get to $7 million a year.
Now, if you just think about this, everything he had to do to make sure his assistants were paid, that's one thing. But also, Jackson State, like a lot of HBCU facilities, are down. Weight room down. It is way underfunded, HBCUs.
Correct.
And MEAC schools.
Correct.
Are underfunded. He was able to raise the bar of Jackson State in a state where you don't even have a good running water because of the issues there in Jackson, Mississippi. Point is, though, is that he was able to raise the bar. And so, just like any other college coach, if they look for another opportunity, they take it. Why can't Deion do that? Why? And you read the same piece I sent you from Anscape that was written by Jesse Washington saying, Deion Sanders' exit from Jackson State shows why HBCUs keep struggling. Coach Prime is leaving the best black college team for a doormat program at a predominantly white college. When you saw that, what was your net reaction?
He's going from like $350,000 to $7 million a year. And he spoke to, I thought he was exceptionally forthcoming and eloquent when he spoke to the Jackson State team after they won their conference title game the other day. When he said, I want you to hear this from me. I don't want you reading it in social media or hearing from the media. I want you to hear it from me. In this business, you either get terminated or you get, what was the word he used? Upgraded, something like that. Mm-hmm. He said, there is no middle ground. You either get a better job or they fire you. One of the two. And I am taking this opportunity to go to Colorado. And I understand all that. I have no problem with he said, I'm going to rebuild this program, and he delivered back-to-back undefeated seasons. Mm-hmm. He's brought a ton of money and notoriety to the school. You see the J for Jackson State, those hats. Mm-hmm. I think they did a collab, Charlie was telling me, with Barstool. And that stuff is selling like crazy.
Right.
So he's done his part. Now he's taking on a new opportunity. I did not respect the way he spoke to the Colorado players. Get in the portal, and I'm bringing my luggage, and it's Louis for Louis Vuitton. Mm-hmm. And we're going to change the way things are. Those kids do nothing but try hard.
Yep.
Because the coach and the administration didn't build a program. That's not the kids' fault. They show up every day and practice hard and weight lift and do all they can. I thought he was disrespectful how he spoke to a bunch of 19, 20-year-old kids.
I compare that to Ditka saying, hey, you know what? We're trying to win a Super Bowl here. Half you won't be here.
But those are pros.
No, I understand that. But that's the same idea, though.
Correct.
So ultimately, what I took from that is, well, I'm not going to the portal. I'm going to work hard because I want to work for Coach. I want to play for Coach Prime.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're sensitive, maybe you should be in the portal. But I'm in Colorado. I'm trying to win. He can say what he wants. I'm not going to the portal. I'm gonna play to win for him.
I would have preferred if he had said, okay, this program has been down for a long time. And these are good people here. And I'm here to help get this thing turned around.
Well,
I'll give any one of you a chance if you want to prove to me you belong here. Just understand, change is coming.
My point is, Shay, is that here's a guy here that got a full house at College Game Day. got a lot of attention on Jackson State. HBCUs now have their own app. It's HBCU Go. They're on the Griot Network every week. They have a game of the week. They're doing well because of Deion Sanders.
And ESPN Plus, like you do games
yeah,
there?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I think that he's done a lot to elevate it. And by the way, just because he's going to Colorado doesn't mean he's going to turn his back on HBCUs. He will still be working with them to try to elevate it as much as possible.
Right. So much of the discourse around this has been about him turning his back on what he built there and not staying loyal to it. This was always the pathway. Like, he was inked into the Florida State job. People thought Mike Norvell was going to get fired after this year and it was going to go to Deion. That didn't happen because they were better than expected. But he was always going to go get a Power 5 job. It's good for him. What he did at Jackson State was good. And then getting this job is good. There aren't enough minority coaches in Power 5 football. We can just be honest and say that.
Oh, yeah.
The SEC has had 3 black coaches, I think, ever. So we can just say this is good overall for the Power 5. It's good what he did for HBCUs and what he did at Jackson State, and we're happy for Deion. That's it.
It's no question about that. I mean, so the idea that he's just supposed to sit there like Eddie Robinson, and nothing against Eddie, but he was there for years, it's about opportunity. You're a winning program now. Now it's time for the next opportunity, like any other college coach. Why is Deion got to be in a box and stay in his lane or stay in place, as people will say? So just stay there for 20 years. Because if you stayed for 20 years and left in year 21, Cap, you know what happened? You're turning your back on HBCUs. It's BS. You go for the bigger opportunity. That's what he did.
I'm not saying you go for it. I'm saying if that's what you want to do,
mm-hmm.
I know guys who have stayed loyal to the school there. Whoa, did you see what he did at that program? He took him to the NCAA tournament. He's got 15 different, now I'm going to stay loyal here. And 4 years later, they have a bad season and he gets fired. There is no loyalty in this.
We think we know Justin Fields the guy, but do we know that Eberflus is the guy? 2 minutes on Cap and Jay Hood.
Miss the conversation.
Cap and Jay Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bop, 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 bop. And listen to Cap and Jay Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and Jay Hood on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Swept by the Pirates.
We can only ask or wonder that he is asking some departed relative for forgiveness for this atrocious performance.
Falling in an outhouse? Or maybe a dose of instant karma?
The evidence would lead me to believe that he did not break the plane before getting rid of the ball. And who knows what's going on inside that helmet?
It's time to find out who had the worst weekend on Cap'n J Hood.
Time for Worst Weekends, and it's brought to you by...
That would be... Okay. We'll call it Lou Malnati's. Here's Shane Norwood.
Well done, boys.
The answer is nobody. And again, for you guys on the seventh floor, Worst Weekends has been around for a while.
You might want to sell it.
You might want to do something there. Worst Weekends, Cap and Jay Hood.
Do you have anything any of the sponsors could sell? Yeah.
Here's Shay Norling. Shay?
Well, I'm going to start with football. Jimmy Garoppolo did not have the best weekend, I think. We've talked a lot about what the Niners' side of this is. Could it derail what could have been a Super Bowl season? Will they get Baker Mayfield? What we haven't talked about is, and they haven't ruled definitively that he has a broken Liz Frank and that he'll officially be out for the entire season, mm-hmm. but he was on the verge of maybe stealing his job back from Trey Lance. He looked like a future starter long-term in this league. He was leading a team that was going to contend for the Super Bowl. Now, his future is very much in question after a foot injury that claimed probably the rest of his year.
Say he stays healthy. How far is San Francisco? How do you think it would fare out?
They've got so many weapons with Christian McCaffrey and Debo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk, and they've got Bosa on the defense with others. That team is loaded. Loaded. With Brock Purdy, not so much.
It's just not, it's too late in the game. I don't see magic with Brock Purdy. But then could it be someone like Baker Mayfield that can be able to do just enough to push them over the
hump? He's going to be gone off the board before they ever get to him.
That's a shame. But this is where the direction. So it is that's a worst weekend.
Bears could claim him.
That'd be funny.
That'd be really funny.
That'd be funny.
Chicago has claimed Baker Mayfield. What?
Could you imagine?
No.
Then he knocks you out of draft position because he'll win a few games for you.
No shot. He's not even the backup in Carolina. He's horrible.
I understand.
And he's a Jag.
Perfect.
They hated him in Cleveland.
Right in. Yeah. Bears need a few of those guys. All right, that is bad. All right, what else is on the list?
Well, it's holiday party season at most companies. And in Traverse City, Michigan, my home state, there was a holiday party. Everybody dressed up in costumes. So one of the guests dressed up as a reindeer. One of the guests dressed up as the Grinch. And this party ended up with the man dressed as the Grinch assaulting the man in the reindeer costume and being arrested.
Why was there an assault? What happened there? Why were they fighting?
Police believe the incident was fueled by alcohol consumption and not the size of either man's heart. But the guy in the reindeer costume definitely had what I would call a bad weekend.
You know, you can always trace a bottle of alcohol to those issues, Cap. You can always trace alcohol.
Boy, you got in some trouble. What time were you out? 3 a.m. and there was alcohol involved. Yeah, that's going to end well.
All right. What else happened?
A father in China was hospitalized. So what happened, his young daughter was bit by a little crab beside a stream, one of those like beach crabs that you see. It just kind of pinched her. So he wanted to get revenge on the crab. That's what he called it. Quote, revenge. He ate it live.
And then what was the end result?
Gets sick in a couple days, goes to the hospital, gets blood tests, 3 parasites. Could have died.
Okay, so what kind of jag does that to try to prove that you're a man? Who does that? Who does that?
An idiot.
I mean, Cap, here's what I don't understand. It's like, okay, you can kill the crab, you can throw it in the water, whatever. You're going to eat it?
It's a power move.
Power move.
It's just a little beach crab. Like, you want revenge? Just step on it. What are you putting it in your mouth for?
Just leave it alone.
But it needs to know and made sure the other crabs were watching.
You know what?
All you crabs, you better pay attention.
You like your life?
Oh, God. Look at this guy. He might eat us. Let's swim away. You know what? In that situation, Charlie, you know what you do? You root for the parasite. That's what you root for. You don't root for the guy. You root for the parasite.
Which one? He got 3.
Yeah, the whole team of parasites. I root for them in that scenario. So ridiculous. Why? I mean, in the moment, you think, "Hey, this happens. You know, I'm gonna swallow it. I'm gonna eat those crabs." Why? My God, eating the crabs reminds me of high school. What else do you have?
Oh God, Woody, come on.
Cap's not listening. Oh, God. Go ahead.
I do not gonna even go there. Because I'll get myself in trouble. I almost swore twice today.
What did I say wrong?
Come on. I'm like off. Now I'm derailed. I don't even know how I get into this last story.
That's what I do.
This is probably number one.
I do the uncomfortable comedy.
Yes, you
that's what I do.
Edgelord, Jonathan Hood.
That's right.
I do the Michael Shea stuff here. I'm Saturday Night Live. That's
You're
all he, you notice that, right? Hey, Charlie, as someone that's into comedy, who gets more of the than Michael Che on Saturday Night Live?
Like
the uncomfortable comedy.
Yeah, you.
You. Go ahead, Che.
This is probably the worst weekend. I'm just going to lob this into the room like a grenade and let you two pass it back and forth. Amy Robach and TJ Holmes.
Oh, my God.
Okay, these two.
Okay.
Now, again. If they are getting divorced and they want to get together, that's their business. I could care less. Have a great life. The problem was this was going on while they were married and they're on set where people are like, something's not right. Something doesn't smell right here. And apparently Robin Roberts and George Stephanopoulos said, we try to portray ourselves as this wholesome family thing. While you guys are having this torrid affair behind our backs. Now, they did not go against company policy because neither one's the other superior.
I understand. This, and so for those that know, this is Disney. This is ABC Disney.
Correct.
So there is you're supposed to tell people, or tell your higher-ups if you're dating. Is that, Danny, let's go back to that. You remember Disney? You're supposed to declare, right? Oh, you have to do it here too?
a superior if it was you and someone at the same level?
Yeah, you got to declare, he says.
So, yeah, because they did not. ABC issued a statement, said they did not violate any corporate policy.
Network President Kim Godwin issued a statement. She said, quote, "I want to say that while the relationship is not a violation of company policy, I really have taken the last few days to think about and work through what I think is best for the ABC News organization. These decisions are not easy. They are not knee-jerk, but they are necessary for the brand and for our priority, which you guys know are all of us, the people here at ABC."
They're just waiting for this to clear, and it's never going to clear out. Like this will still be a thing. When people see those guys in GMA, the third or fourth hour of that GMA, people are going to see, oh, these two are together.
So what do you do? If you were in charge, would you write them a check and go, well, here, whatever we owe you, it's not a violation. Here's your money. You're out. Or keep them employed?
I'd keep them employed. I would. Would they be on the same show? Probably not.
What are you going to put her on? Dancing with the Stars?
No, she can report. She'd be out in the streets doing some reporting.
What about him?
He could do the same thing. Seriously. They're good reporters. They're good.
Yeah.
But together?
TJ, come in here. You're now covering what's going on in the Gulf.
Yeah, sure. He's done that before.
We're sending you to Afghanistan.
Now, here's the thing. Because of the affair, the numbers have been up. Their ratings have been up at GMA.
But I don't think that's sustainable. I think it's the shock value of the car accident. Everyone's like, whoa!
I would say they should still work at the same company but not be on the same show.
Danny said they need to talk about it on the show. Did you see on Friday, the story broke, they let them go on the air but not talk about it? I'm like, if you're going to let them on the air.
Robin Roberts refused to do the show. She walked out, said, I'm not working with them.
Okay. That's fine.
Yeah, she says that about everyone except Peyton and Eli, apparently.
Coming up, we have the Cap and Jay cut of the day. Danny's going to put money in your pocket. Listen closely in 1 minute, right here on ESPN 1000.